Hello, Senator.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are
you? Is this Sally?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm considering the fact I'm in Washington, D.C., an island surrounded by reality, I'm doing pretty good.
All righty. Well, I am ready to go if you are.
Yeah, go shoot.
All right. Well, the House has passed the farm bill, so now there's a five-year farm bill in effect. Do you have any remarks with that, along with the food stamp benefits?
It should be called a food stamp bill because 80% of it goes to food stamps, and of the 20% that goes to agriculture, maybe this year, and I'm not sure, this might not be true of next year or the following year, depending on what price is, but I think right now the money that goes to farmers is about 4.5% of that total amount of money. The rest of it is for other programs or running the Department of Agriculture. Yeah, I have this comment. I may vote against the bill. I'm maybe make an announcement before the day's out if you want to be certain on what I'm going to do. But I have this situation. I put in the bill a hard cap on what any one farmer can get, and I defined a farmer so a non-farmer can't participate in the farm program. I think all those things are right. They save $387 million. It's pretty important with a $17 trillion deficit, save wherever we can. It passed the Senate without debate in June. It passed the House of Representatives sometime in October, November. My provision did. It was a separate vote there, 230-194. Almost the same language in both bills. Something like that, that's no difference between the House and Senate, should not be what we call conferenceable. In other words, not debated by the people that are working out the difference between the House and Senate. And you know what? Somebody in the House of Representatives that was in the minority of those 194, he was chairman of the conference. He didn't like it, and he just plain took it out. Well, I better be more accurate. There's provisions in there, but they're so gutted that they amount to nothing. So, you know, under those circumstances, something I've been working to do for a long, long time, I think people shouldn't be surprised if I end up voting against it.
And I know another thing that you've talked about in previous sessions is ending the direct payments. Is that still true with this bill?
Yeah, the direct payments, but just so farmers don't think we're abandoning them totally, there is a support price that's below the cost of production. But if you got catastrophic low prices, there would be some help under those circumstances. And then, so you don't expect, you hope that never works, but it's there as a safety net. But the real safety net comes not only from price, but also from natural disaster, and that's the crop insurance. And the crop insurance program stays pretty much like what it is right now and over the last few years.
All right. And discussing the SNAP benefits, there was some disparity between the House and the Senate regarding cuts to that. What common ground was found as far as how much funding was cut from the SNAP?
Most of it was on the low end and more along the lines of what the Senate desired. The difference that you talk about was $4.5 billion Senate, about $39 billion House. So you'd think a natural split would be about 16, 17, 18 billion, but it comes out about 8 or 9 billion in that neighborhood. Probably not enough savings for some, but there's a lot of people in the Senate that voted that you shouldn't cut one penny from food stamps. But there isn't anybody getting food stamps today that's going to be denied food stamps under these savings that we're talking about.
All right. And then switching gears here, do you have any remarks about the State of the Union that was given this week?
Sure. It was a very presidential speech, so that's very much a positive. But it didn't do much to solve the problems confronting this nation. For instance, you know, Obamacare is a big drag on the economy. All he did was praise that, didn't suggest any changes. He did have job retraining. I agree with him on that. He Oh, another thing I agreed on was trade promotion authority so we can export more of our products. But so many of the things that he talks about is more government regulation and higher taxes and higher costs of doing business, things that retard, job creation. And this speech should have been more about jobs, jobs, jobs.
All right, and going along with the jobs, there has been some talk about raising the minimum wage to $10.10. What's your view on this?
Well, we've had 23 increases since 1938. I've been in Congress about half that time. I don't know how many I've voted on. I probably voted for some and against some, and I tend to vote against it if it doesn't have some relief in it for mom-and-pa operations, because that's where a lot of the low-income people, minimum-wage people work. And if you don't have some help from small business, you tend to make it more difficult for them to hire as you raise the minimum wage. And so you don't create jobs that you want to create when you have 7% unemployment like we have right now. So I don't know how I'll vote on it. Well, the way it was presented to the Senate, I would vote no because it doesn't have that help for mom and pop operations in it. But then there may be some sort of a compromise that would permit my voting for it if it has some offsets.
All right. And also, people are currently looking at going to apply for service academy positions. Do you have any remarks regarding this?
Yeah. Well, we made our announcements last November, December. I nominate, instead of nominating one person, which I can under the law, and they'd have to take that person, I nominate 10 because I don't want it to look like there's any political affiliation help to some friend of mine or some political contributor of mine. So I let the academies make the last choice, and we're announcing from time to time the number of or the people that the academy finally accept. I get a lot of thank yous from young people that have been accepted, or a lot of times I get thank yous from people that don't get accepted. Right now, I would suggest to people that want to go starting July 2015, so they would be in their junior class, just write me a letter right now saying they're interested in going to a military academy, which ones they're interested in going to, their priority, and then that starts the process going, and all they got to do is fill out the forms we send them and get the recommendations that they have and close their file with me by October the 1st. And to work through a young lady I have on my staff by the name of Danielle in Cedar Rapids, who does the paperwork on this, and keep in touch with her. And then we'll announce this winter, sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas, who we're going to pick for July 2014. Every year, we have outstanding young Iowans being accepted into the service academies, and I get the impression after doing this for 30 or more years that generally the academies are very positive about people from the Midwest and particularly the states of Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners at this time?
I don't think so. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. Bye.